Again, we know that today is Palm Sunday, and again, it's at the beginning of Holy Week. But you know, as we look back and we see how all these things developed since the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we see Jesus who was humble. We know that he was humble and that he did not draw attention to himself. But who did he draw attention to? But to the Heavenly Father. So today, we're going to talk about why Palm Sunday was kind of like out of Jesus' character in a sense. So bear with me here. So why did Jesus tell some people to keep quiet about his miracles that he did do, or keep quiet about his identity? Because that's the Jesus that we all started to know, right? That's who Jesus came across to us as he started stepping out into his ministry. We saw Jesus who was humble. And when he would do miracles, he didn't take credit. He gave it to the Father. He sought the Father for the miracles. So, there are a number of times in the gospel that Jesus performs a miracle, and then he tells the person that's been healed not to tell anyone. But not only that, he tells the people that saw or witnessed the healing that they were not to share it with anyone. Okay? So, the obvious reason for that, or the what we might want to say, the human perspective of the reason why Jesus did that, was because he knew that the Jewish leaders, and he knew that the Romans would shut him up if he stepped out too soon, and he would not get his word out there. Okay? So sometimes, again, Jesus told people not to tell about his miracles. So I'm going to share a few of those. And again, time restricting, because I do want to do a little object lesson with this, because it'll really open up your eyes to what where I'm going with this morning. So in Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke 9, all three of these Gospels talk about where Jesus says or confirms to his disciples that he is indeed the Messiah, but yet Jesus instructs them not to tell anyone. Okay? Then let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 45. It says, Jesus healed a leper and told him not to tell anyone that it was he that had done this, that had healed him. The man, however, did not comply with Jesus' request. He went around and he told everyone. Well, what happened when he did that? Everybody and their brother wanted to be with Jesus. They wanted to go check this man out. Well, what happened when he did that? When this leper told everyone what happened, instead of keeping it to himself like Jesus asked him to, what happened was, it was to the point, this is what it says, so Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every corner of the territory. This is out of Mark chapter 1, verse 45. So everyone crowded around him, and I think that when I say that to you, probably the first image that you think about is the woman with the issue of blood. Remember when she hears that Jesus is in the area, and she is with all her tenacity is going to go to him. She wants to be healed. She's been dealing with this for what, 12 years or whatever it is, 15 years of with this issue of blood, and it's so crowded that when there's so many people, and yet when she touches the hem of his garment, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Now the disciples are standing there going, now wait a minute, who didn't touch you is more the question, because they're so crowded that who didn't touch you? What he was saying, who touched me with that level of faith? That's what he was talking about. Who touched me, who had that level of faith, who took some of that faith out of my well that I have stored up in here? Stir up that well, spring up that well. Jesus had that miracle. And she knew it. So when she touched him, she received that miracle. But what I'm saying here is that there was a time where there were so many people, and that was his reason sometimes, because he didn't want everyone to know, because he knew what would happen. Okay? So here's Mark chapter 1 and also chapter 3. Jesus tells demons not to speak about him and to tell others who he was. Jesus, understandably, didn't want demons to be proclaiming who he was. because people would associate him with the demons, and they would be they would misrepresent him, of course. But think about it. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus healed a blind mute, okay? But what did the Pharisees do once he was healed? This is what they said. Only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that the fellow, talking about Jesus, drives out demons. So Jesus knew that the more his miracles, the more about his message got out there, it was going to start rocking boats. Yes, it benefited a lot of people. People were healed. People were set free. People were delivered. But yet, again, it was going to cause friction. It was going to cause an upheaval. So let's go to an occasion where Jesus tells them to tell everyone when they're healed or set free. One that comes to mind to me was the Samaritan woman. She meets Jesus at the well, and this is what goes on. John 4:25, the woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." 26, then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Okay? Now, he knew her personality. I talked about this about a month ago. He knew the personality that she had, and he knew she wasn't going to keep it quiet. He knew. That's why he went to her. One of the reasons why. I mean, yeah, she'd been married how many times? 5 times, and she was living with the man she wasn't married to. And yet, Jesus ministered to her because she needed ministered. But the point being, he knew the personality that that she had, and he knew she wasn't going to keep quiet. Okay, so it says here, this is about the time after he's done, you know, after Jesus says that, "I am he," this is about the time the disciples have come back from their trip, from getting, you know, food. And as they're coming back, in the verse 28 it says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?'" They came out of the town. Again, he couldn't even go into the town because he would have been bombarded. They came looking for him. They came looking for him. So, with that being said, let's go to Mark 5 and Luke 8, actually. It was in both Gospels, where he says he is getting out of a boat. A man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might go with him because he delivered him from being possessed by this demon. Now he wants to go with Jesus. Jesus says this to him. He says, he did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them, tell how much what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went, and this man went away and began to proclaim to the Decapolis, which is a region in Palestine. So it was a big area. So he was going to tell them about what Jesus had done, that he had been set free and delivered. So here again, there's times when Jesus wants us to be quiet. This today, now, there's times we're to be quiet. When God lays something on our heart, maybe it's a time that we need to be quiet and just pray about it. Or maybe there's a time when he says, "I want you to share this. I give this to you to share it." Okay, so Jesus had a very keen sense when it came to timing. Think about this. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, according to the prophecy, Jesus had to die in Jerusalem at Passover because it was a prophetic word. He knew it had to. He was the only one that was going to be able to walk through that and accomplish that prophetic word. He knew that. There are several passages where Jesus shows his sense of timing. Here's one of those. In John chapter 2, verse 4, where Mary, there's a wedding, and they run out of wine. And she goes to her son Jesus and says, "Jesus, we've run out of wine. Help." And Jesus says, "It is not my time." But what's he do? He turns the water into wine. Okay? Now, let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 15. Let's do John 7, 6. It says, "When his brothers challenge him to go to the festival, Jesus tells them, 'The right time for me is not yet come.'" And then in John 6, 15, we read that people, listen to this, people in John 6, chapter 6, verse 15, we read that some people, hearing that Jesus was the Messiah, this is what they were trying to do. They were trying to make him king by force. Think about that. Don't we sometimes, we want something so bad, we make it happen? But are we doing it in God's time, or are we doing it in our time? Are we doing it on God's agenda, or are we doing it on our agenda? Okay, so once that timing is right, Jesus revealed who he was, which brings us to today, Palm Sunday, which brings us to today. So I've got a few minutes, so I need Bill up here, and Mary, if you'll come up. Can you come up? Yep. You guys are going to laugh, but that's okay. Mary, I'll have you. Yep. Can you come up here? Okay. I want you two to hold this for just a second. Bill, I need you on this side. And I want you to hold that up. The object of this lesson, this is yours. What those are little goldfish, okay? There's 10 in each cup. Now, you guys ready for this?
Oh, maybe it's good.
Yeah, you can do it. Oh, you two both got glasses on. You're going to have to take them off. Now, one of these is covered, okay? You can try to put those on.
And she's covered the eye, I see.
Well, okay. I fixed that. I wasn't going to give you that excuse. So we'll try to do that.
I can't see out of this.
Which one was you?
Right eye.
Oh, wait, I can see out of the right eye. You need that one?
No. No, I can't see out of
mine. Well, wait a minute. And I'm holding up here. No, that's still not the right one.
Time for prayer.
This one is. Okay, go ahead. Okay, time for prayer. That's good. Okay, now I've got it. Now. Okay, I'll make this. Yep, put them on.
They may be running over time.
Okay, just hold them on there. That's good. Okay, just like that. Now, I'm going to dump these out. Now, all you can see is out of one eye, right, Mary?
Yep.
All you can see is out of one eye.
Yep.
Take your cup. I'll take the plate, the tray. Take your... Now, I want you to count... Everybody count to three, and then count to three, I want you to pick up how many you can grab before we say stop. Ready? Go.
I can't walk.
Okay. You can't pick up any? Okay. That's right, you got to hold it. Okay. See who gets theirs picked up all first. Okay, Bill got his done first. Okay, now take them off. Take them off, and you can put your regular glasses back on. And I'll take these, and we're going to dump them back out again. So Bill won that round. Okay. We're going to see who... Now, bear with me. On your mark, grab your cup. I got this. One at a time.
Oh, one at a time.
One at a time.
That's why you won.
I'm just, okay, ready? On your mic, get set, go. Oh, look at Mary. Get out of the way.
Come on, Mary.
Yeah, root them on. Oh, Mary got it. Okay, so they, all right. Now, let me ask you a question before you go back to your seat. What makes this second time easier for you?
I didn't have to hold.
Yeah, okay. But
The scene.
Okay, the reason being this. If you have tunnel vision, what can you see? Only what's in the tunnel, right? That's all your obstruction because of the fact that you're seeing it through a tunnel vision, right? But when you get the full picture of what you're dealing with, you're more apt to what? Succeed, right? That's what we have to realize in this message today is this, that the Jewish people did not have a full picture. All they were seeing was through a tunnel vision. They didn't have the full picture as Christ had it. All right? So with that, you two may go back and have your seat. Thank you very much. Let's give them a little hand here.
It was a tie.
Okay. So let's...
I didn't have to pick up.
Okay, let's move on. So, with that being said, now we're talking about Palm Sunday. So Jesus' early ministry, Jesus seemed to do a lot of things, you might say, under the radar, right? We can honestly say that he kind of did some things under the radar, okay? So, but on one occasion, when Jesus, let me see how I want to say this. Okay, let's jump back to Mary. When he went to Mary, and she asked him to change the water into wine, and he said, this is not my time. What he was talking about here was not my time to, you know, to do another miracle. He wasn't talking about that. He was what he was referring to was his time was to be betrayed. It was his time to die. It was his time for resurrection. That's what he was talking about here. In Luke 19, it says, we find Jesus doing something that definitely caught people's attention. Now think about that. Think about that. A man who was humble. Who was humble. That's how we knew him. That's why we loved him, because he was so humble. Okay? But here we almost think he stepped out of his character. But listen to this. He decided to enter Jerusalem on what would be his last arrival in a way that would draw attention to himself. But did he do it for himself? Absolutely not. He did it for us. What he did was still for us in a way that he did not draw attention to himself, and it was because it was his time. It wasn't the Jewish people's time. It wasn't the Pharisees or the chief priest's time. It wasn't the Romans' time. It was the time that God had set, which was set how many decades and years before in Zechariah 9:9. He was to go to Jerusalem, and he was to die in Jerusalem, and he was to do it on Passover. He was completing a prophecy. So, Jesus was playing his own hand. Now, some of us look at that and we say, he was so innocent. He was so innocent. But listen to this. He was playing his own hand, and he was doing something that would force the authorities to react. He was acting to get a reaction from the Pharisees. He was getting a reaction from Rome. He was getting a reaction from the Jewish people. Okay, so it says he was arriving in a way that would be understood by both the Jews and by the Romans. So, in Luke 19, it says, so they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. He rode along. The crowd spread out their garments and to the road ahead of him. And then in Mark 11, there's a little more detail, and it says, the many of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread their leafy branches, which are what? The palms, the palm trees, or the palm branches. But think about this. Look at this. It says, the custom back then, at that time, when a conquering hero returned from battle, what did he do? He entered into the city on the back of a donkey. Rome, when they saw him come in on a donkey, what are they thinking? Jesus is clearly declaring himself as a hero, and he's declaring himself as the king. That is the reason why he did it. He was doing an action to get a reaction. Isn't that what I just said back here, that that's what he did? He was doing something that would force the authorities to react, which is what he had to do in order for this prophecy to be filled. So to the Jews, Jesus was plainly saying that he was the Messiah. So two things were going on right there. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, there are two things going on. Rome's saying, wait, he thinks he's what? He thinks he's what? The king? And yet the Jews are saying, this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. He was fulfilling the prophecy again in Zechariah. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Now, to add to this, though, the fact that Jesus was a wanted man. wanted man at this point by who? By the priests, by the chief priests. They were looking for him, and they said, if you find him, seize him, because he's wanted. We're going to arrest him because of what he's doing. Jesus is saying, in effect, you want me? Come and get me. If you want me, here I am. I am ready. It's my time. My time has come. This is what he's saying on Palm Sunday. This shows us that Jesus was not a helpless victim. Listen to this. He is not a helpless victim. He was victorious, a victorious king with an objective to accomplish. Okay? The people see him arriving. They shout and sing blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. So the disciples, think about what they must have experienced. Seeing their rabbi, seeing the Messiah, get on that donkey and start riding in the town, and people are waving, you know, and people are throwing their cloaks in front of the donkey, and they're, you know, they're just, everybody's going crazy. The place is going crazy, and the leaves, palm leaves are going everywhere, and people are shouting and praising the Lord. Can you imagine what, here it says, the disciples' hearts probably were leaping with joy as they took that scene all in. It's like, can you imagine what Simon Peter was thinking? It's happening. It's happening. I knew that day was going to happen. I knew this day was going to come. So they're excited. But the thing is this. Jesus experienced great sadness on this day. Because why? Because why? Because they were looking with tunnel vision. They were looking at it as an agenda for them. They did not see the full picture. Jesus saw the full picture. That's why he was weeping. Because they did not have a clue. The sadness on this day because the crowds were ignoring his true role. What he had to accomplish. Jesus had the full picture. The Jewish people wanted a military Messiah who would accomplish their agenda. Meanwhile, Jesus was coming as a suffering Savior to accomplish God's agenda. The thing that I want us to understand today is sometimes, and it's certainly not in this ministry, but just like in the last couple of days, I've heard little videos of people saying, well, I go to church on Easter. I faithfully go to church on Easter. Or I faithfully go to church on Easter and Christmas. But Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, they're not just there for Easter or for Christmas. Boy, if that's all they were, we would all be in big trouble. The thing is we try to fit them into our schedule, into our agenda on Easter and Christmas. But do we want Jesus because it's convenient for us, or it's our agenda, or better yet, it's our season, certain seasons of the year, or it's the season of my life that I'm going through right now that I'll accept Christ and I'll go to church. Thank the Lord that we serve a God who's a 24/7 God, that he is our Lord, he is our King, he is our healer, he is our provider, he is our Prince of Peace, he is our all in all, he is our God of more than enough, he is our Jehovah Jireh, he is our Jehovah Nissi, he is our all in all. Jesus gave his all, knowing that day when he got on that donkey where he was going. It was the longest journey. He gave his all so that we could have all that God has to offer us. Amen. With that, we're going to pray and then we're going to hand out our palms this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord, as we enter into this holy week and our hearts are set on Jerusalem, it is hard for us to wrap our minds around the full picture of your agenda. But Father, as long as we just trust in you and your timing, we will find rest in you. We also remember, Father, the resurrection and the death and the life of your precious Son, Jesus. So as we go through this Holy Week, please guide us with that gift of faith so that we may praise you, praise your Son, not just verbally, Lord, but as we walk this life, let us live an example of Jesus who was humble, who was patient, who was loving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're going to go ahead and cast these out and Bill, I'll have you and Buster, can you come up and help cast? Yes, please. Branches. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verse John chapter 12, verse 13, and then we are going to sing number 266, Hosanna, again, and we're going to wave our palms, branches, as we sing in dedication and in honor to our Savior. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Let's stand and let's sing number 266.
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the
Let's bow our heads for the benediction. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace in Jesus' name. I praise you, Lord. We praise you with all our hearts. And we thank you that during this time of Holy Week, Lord, let us stay focused with a full picture of what you did for us. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessing us with your favor and giving us life everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said,
Amen.
See you in fellowship. God bless and have a great week.